everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and we have a nice casual conversation. Today you are listening to episode 17, and this is an exciting episode for me. I bring on Vicki Bolson. She is the founder and CEO of the Bolson Group, downtown Indianapolis, which is a full-service PR and advertising agency. I found Vicki's story super interesting. Vicki had a successful career in New York City and then came back to Indianapolis, worked as a freelancer, and raised her three children. And as soon as her youngest was in school, she ended up starting her own firm, which is just super exciting for me to think of all the possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead for when these little people that I'm raising right now get a little bit older. So she just puts a lot of perspective into balancing life with little kids and picking and choosing what's important to you at the time. I really related to a lot of Vicki's story. So Vicki's company became B Corp certified, which we will get into what exactly that means in this episode. And I think that is just a really responsible and awesome way to run your business and company. And I'm proud of her and the group for doing that here in Indianapolis. He also gives a lot of great advice of some fun apps and things you can use to balance a busy schedule and not get it all done, because we can't really all get it all done, but make things a little bit simpler in your busy life. Before we get started talking with Vicki, if you are a small business or company that is interested in this show and thinks that the listeners of this show might be interested in your product or business, please send me an email, lindsay@lindsayhine.com. We can talk about working out some sort of sponsorship agreement. You could be so kind to go ahead and go over to iTunes and rate and review my show. I would very much appreciate it. It is the absolute best way that people can find the show who might be interested in this type of conversation. Thank you guys so much for your support and for listening, and we'll go ahead and get started talking with Vicki.
And so my husband said, well, maybe you could talk about your track experience, because I ran track, but I wasn't like a serious runner.
That's
okay. I was a high jumper.
Okay. So did you run track in high school?
Yes.
You did high jump?
I did.
So it's funny because I did high jump in high school, like as a freshman. I think I just did it for fun, and I was, I don't know if I want to say I was terrible. I can't even remember the heights. Like, I think if I say 4'8", like, that's not very high, but I think that's like the highest I got over.
Mm-hmm. Well, my fifth grader, she'll be a sixth grader,
okay,
came home this year. It was her first year to really do track,
uh-huh,
intermediate school. And she came home and then she goes, they had me try high jump and I jumped 4'6". And I said, that seems pretty high for a fifth grader. She goes, well, it's the school record. She said so. And I'm like, you just went out there and like jumped 4'6".
Is she tall?
She's pretty tall for her age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I said, well, I was a high jumper. And she said, I didn't know that. So funny.
So was it like your big thing? I mean, were you like...
I was a lazy runner.
Okay.
So my mom was ill, like all during like my junior high and high school.
Okay.
And I was a gymnast,
okay,
up until I was 16. And I was an elite gymnast. And it was serious. I mean, and there's not very many high schools that even,
yeah,
have it. And so, I mean, every morning and then after school. And then my mom just got too sick and she died when I was 16.
Oh, man.
And it was right around that time, I think I was getting scared of the new tricks because just my confidence and everything was shaken because of my mom's illness. And my dad just couldn't keep up with it.
Mm.
And it was kind of a blessing to,
yeah,
me that I was kind of forced out of it. And so then around that same time was when, you know, high school, and I was high jumping, but I wasn't that great. And I had to work to take care of my sister, and because my dad, after my mom died, he just kind of flipped and sometimes wouldn't come home at night.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was, and my older brother, I have three kids too. Just like I have three kids, I had three siblings.
Okay.
And my brother was off to college, and I was just trying to work and get her to school and stuff. And so I was still running track, but I couldn't devote, you know. And I was a sprinter, but I just didn't want to do the work because I really couldn't.
Right.
And so I started focusing on high jump.
Uh-huh.
So I went to state.
Were you tall? Are you tall?
I'm 5'6". Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's how tall
and
I am.
And most of the high jumpers.
Oh, yeah, like 5'11".
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you went to State?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, where did you grow up?
I went to Center Grove High School.
Oh, okay.
So, on the south side.
So, what kind of heights do you clear then?
So, my highest was 5'7¾".
Wow.
Something like that.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, consistently, I didn't jump that. That
yeah.
was kind of a...
Your PR of...
That was like the peak, you know?
Yeah.
But consistently in the, 5'3", 5'5".
That's insane.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird to think of your body going...
Yeah, I know. Now at this age, like, not that you're that old, but, like, can you imagine doing that and, like, throwing your body over that? So that's funny that your daughter's going to follow your footsteps, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's kind of into it. She's also a soccer player. This is the youngest one, so...
Okay.
But she could do soccer, and then she could do track.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
So how old are your kids?
Almost 18.
So okay.
My first one graduated.
Okay.
Just like last weekend.
Okay.
And 15. And then she's almost 12.
18. So you got 3 years.
Three years. And then 4 school years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are really nice, healthy age gaps.
It's good. It's worked out well. I thought I'd have them closer.
Yeah.
And there was a miscarriage in
uh-huh.
between the middle and youngest. But
okay.
it wasn't like a big gap. It was like about 9 months.
Uh-huh.
But they would have been.
A little bit
years.
Closer.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 years. Yeah. My kids are 2½, and then these ones will be 21 months apart. So
okay.
pretty close. So like I have an almost 4-year-old.
Oh, okay.
And then my second son is about 17 months now.
Okay.
So these two will be really close. And in a perfect world, I would have got pregnant like this late summer or fall. But you can never plan these things, and we had a hard time getting pregnant with my first, and I had a couple miscarriages before him. We never prevented between the two, and then they're 2½ years apart, so you would think. So we were just kind of like, well, we'll just let it be, and what happens, happens, and now I'm pregnant.
So fun.
So yeah, it's good though. Intro to Vicky. This is Vicky, everybody.
Hello.
And I've practiced this, but I still think I'm saying it wrong. Boylson.
Bolson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because when I went upstairs, okay, so Vicky sent me an email this morning and gave me the code to get onto the floor. And so I pushed the floor to get up to her office. And I'm just, I pushed floor 8 and I'm like sitting on my phone, not paying attention. I'm like, I feel like I haven't moved in a while. And so then I was like, oh, yeah, she mentioned a code. So I typed the code in wrong, apparently, and went up to the 10th floor. And I'm wandering around and people are like, who are you looking for? We don't know where that floor is. We don't know what floor she's on. So then I got back on the elevator and some nice man helped me. I couldn't even figure out how to do the code though.
Yeah, I get a little bit of everything. Bolson, I don't know. I was a Wilson, so I went up in the alphabet.
Okay, yeah.
But it sounds kind of similar.
Uh-huh.
Bolson.
Uh-huh. So. Well, this office is amazing.
Thank you.
Like the view and the location.
It's a fun location.
It's so fun.
We moved in right before the Super Bowl, so you can imagine. It was so fun because we moved in and we didn't take the whole floor because we didn't need all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the landlords were great and they told us, we're not going to show the floor to anybody else in case you do continue to grow.
Oh, wow.
And so there was an empty office much like this because the layout is, there's 4 sides that are just like the sides you walk in to get to my office. So there's an office like this. In that corner, and Channel 6 broadcast live.
Oh,
with that as their backdrop.
Oh,
for the month of the Super Bowl. So it was so fun. They'd come up in the elevator every day and work from there.
That's so cool.
And then during the actual Super Bowl, my family came and they brought friends, and we spent the night so we could see.
You spent the night in the office.
We spent the night right here, and we could see. We watched the Super Bowl on the big screen TV, and we could see. Just everything happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minute it was over, we ran to the elevator to go down to the street.
Yeah.
And so Channel 6 ran too. And so our kids were one of the first people interviewed.
Oh, that's so
fun. It was just so fun and exciting. So
I hope the Super Bowl comes back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we put a bid in for, 2018 maybe, and we didn't get it?
Right. And so the sports corps is right upstairs.
Yeah.
That's really instrumental.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be pretty awesome.
We got so lucky, though, because the year the Super Bowl came to Indianapolis, what was it, like 60, 50 degrees out in January and not no snow, and it was just like the perfect year to have the Super Bowl here because we had Georgia Street and...
Well, they put that all in right when we were moving in, and then remember the zip line?
Yes.
So that was just right over here. Mm, I mean, mm-hmm. literally right there.
Oh, you could see it from your office.
You could hear it. So you'd be doing something, and all of a sudden you hear, wah, you know?
Yeah.
And if you went to the windows over here, you could watch people.
So did you move into this office?
It was December.
So, okay, wait, the Super Bowl was here in 2012? Yes, right?
Was it 12?
It ended up being 2013, maybe. No, 2012.
Isn't that true? It was 12.
So you'd been here for 2 years. So did you guys move into this building before Georgia Street was really like built up and kind of like trying to be the place to be?
So our first office was over above the Hard Rock Cafe.
Okay.
Which is called the Morrison Opera Place.
Okay.
And it was kind of a funny story. I had started the company and kind of, and I can talk about this too if you'd like.
But yeah.
It wasn't planned. And so I hired a couple people real quickly, and we moved into the space over there, but it wasn't built out.
Okay.
And so we walked in our first day in the office with card tables and worked from card tables while the space was being built out for about a year. And over the course of the year of them building it out, simultaneously, all this was happening. But we thought we were going to stay there, but by the time it was built out, we had outgrown the space.
Okay.
I don't even know how many people we had, but there were a couple of other tenants on our floor that had desks or offices. Mm-hmm. So we were subletting all over the floor try to make it work. And I was thinking, what are we going to do? You know, we can't work like this. Mm-hmm. This is not conducive to really working effectively and efficiently. So this floor used to be Hetrick Communications, which was Bruce Hetrick's company, and he is just a fabulous guy. He was somebody I really looked up to, and he had decided he was going to close his business, and now he's a professor, and he moved on and did other things. And so he sent out an email to all of his colleagues and family saying, this is what's happening. If anybody is looking for a good deal on some space.
Mm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is just kind of how everything has happened for me. I just felt so blessed every step of the way. And so I came over and I was kind of embarrassed because, you know, I knew he had this really huge successful business and I was kind of a startup and to be looking at this space thinking, you know, one, that we were worthy of it and all that. And it was perfect because I'll walk you around, but it was a PR firm and we are. So it was like, okay, this space is built for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so long story short, we ended up subletting to another company, our old space. And then we moved in here and all we did to this space was brand it with our colors.
Okay.
So we all painted it.
Yeah.
And moved in. So that was right around the time that everything was getting prepped up and then we had work with the Super Bowl. We did all the concerts.
Oh.
And we even put a live stream in the, a simulcast camera in our window in one of our conference rooms so you could see down onto Georgia Street.
Oh, that's so cool.
And if you remember, there was that one concert that had like the big gridlock.
Was it Hootie and the Blowfish Darius Rucker?
I can't remember which one it was, but like literally afterwards, people couldn't like move and stuff.
Oh gosh.
So it was really awesome because the Star plugged into our, Indianapolis Star plugged into our simulcast too, and they would live feed it.
Okay.
So people could look and see what traffic, like how it looked.
Yeah.
So they knew, oh, it's a good time to come down.
Or yeah,
it's not
yeah,
a
yeah.
good time to come down. And
Yeah.
So we just tried in every way we could to really take advantage of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And just the fun in it, but also the kind of partnership opportunities and things like that.
When the Super Bowl was here, I worked for the John H. Bonner Community Center on the Near East Side, and so they were super, like, heavily involved in the revitalization of the Near East Side with the Super Bowl. They poured, like, millions of dollars into, you know, they have the Legacy Center now and all that. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
And that concert that you're talking about, I think I was there. And I was like 20 weeks pregnant or something with my first. And I remember standing in this crowd just thinking, like, oh my gosh, I could get, like, smashed.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom is kind of afraid of big crowds, too, just, like, claustrophobic. And so I just looked at her, and she was like, I got to get out of here. And I was like, I should probably get out of here, too. Like, in the middle of all these people.
Yeah. There were a couple times when it got a little kooky like that. I think people were just so proud, and mm-hmm. they were coming down. And the city did such a great job of creating things for everyone to do,
oh my
whether
gosh,
they were going
awesome.
To go
yeah.
to the game or not.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about your, do you call it your firm? Your PR firm? Is that?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're a marketing and communications firm.
So how did you get to this point? Like, what did the beginning of your career look like? And
well, I went to DePauw in Greencastle, and when I graduated, it was back in the 80s, and I moved to New York City because my husband, he wasn't my husband then, but soon to be husband, had gone to school in the East Coast, and he lived in the city, and so we knew we were going to live there once we got married. We got married right after college, so I moved to New York, and I knew I wanted to do, I was a communications major, but I didn't know what that first job was going to be. So I hired a headhunter, which headhunters were a big deal back then. A lot of people did that. And they sent me on all these interviews, and I ended up working with CBS in affiliate relations, which is working with the different CBS stations around the nation. And I had a fun time zone. I had the West and Coast and Mountain Pacific time zone station, so I had more of a challenge than most of the other affiliate relators on my team. So that was fun. I got to learn all about, you know, it just the time zone changes. And
yeah,
how
was it
that
a challenge
impacts.
Because of the, like, it's later?
It's so funny because at the time there were, you know, email was just coming.
You think back
to how different
totally.
It was. And so it was challenging, but I mean, not that much more. We adjusted our time that we worked and things like that. But I was next to the promotions and department, which are the people who would do the thing. Like Knott's Landing was a big show, and so all the Knott's Landing promotion was going on sort of next to me. And I thought this is more what I'm interested in than just kind of an admin role. And so I really wasn't there very long, and then my husband and I we moved back and forth from Indy to New York a couple times.
Okay.
And when I came back here, I worked for WTHR and local TV, and then a PR firm here. And I had always told my husband that I would stay home with our kids when we had them.
Okay.
We somehow were kind of smart and actually talked about that before we got married. But then after working, and so, you know, I mean, we didn't have kids until
we were married
11 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I realized, oh my word, I really want to stay home, but I also really like what I do.
Yeah.
And I just could not imagine just being at home, just my personality and everything. So I started freelancing.
Okay.
And I had some really great clients here. And then we, for a time, were living in both cities. And so then in New York, I had some great clients
too. How did that work?
Just
like living, going back. Did you have a home?
We had family here because we both grew up here.
Okay.
And so almost always we had only one apartment until when I got pregnant with Grace.
Okay.
And then we kept our New York apartment and we bought a house here.
Okay.
And that's my old.
Okay.
And so I was still, I mean, I had been freelancing at that point for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And I just, I mean, it was perfect.
So were you home with her and freelancing full time? You were home
with
her full
time? Not full time. I was home, and I found it was our neighbor who became kind of the babysitter or nanny or whatever.
Okay.
And so.
In New York.
In Indy.
Okay.
We kept our apartment there, and she would come to the house, just different schedule every week. Like every Friday, I tell her next week what I
just for like
it.
4 hours or
well,
randomly
15 or 20.
Throughout the week though, but like per day.
Yes.
Like on a Tuesday, you'd be like, I need five hours here.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
If I had a meeting or I just knew I need to block out time
right.
to work on a project. But all my kids nursed, and so this went on for like, it went on for a long time, like 15 years. Because there was getting pregnant, well, no, I guess 12 or so. No, 15, because then Rose was 5 when I started.
Oh, I love that name, Rose.
So I would, they would, you know, sit with me and nurse, and then sometimes one would be with me and the other, you know, whatever. And so then what happened was, and I had great clients. It was perfect.
How did you find your clients?
Gosh, it was really word of mouth. It kind of started out when I first started freelancing. It was kind of a fluke. There were a couple people. There was a gal who did creative, like mm-hmm. graphic design. Mm-hmm. And then there were these two guys who did sponsorship, fulfillment, and marketing. And they suggested me for a job,
okay,
which we all did together. So it was kind of like a little agency, but we were all independent. And from there, we just really would refer and refer each other. And we've all gone on and done other things, mm-hmm. but it kind of started that way. And then it was really just word of mouth. Mm-hmm. I had one major client in New York, and I went in. They did satellite media tours, which aren't really something that you do today, but back in the 90s, because there weren't as many stations. I mean, mm-hmm. there were the four networks, and you know, there weren't all these cable stations like there mm-hmm. are now. And so the big thing was you do a satellite tour. So say you had an actor from a movie, and the movie was launching, you'd put them in a studio, and they would just do one interview after the other
okay.
via satellite,
okay.
like every 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And so this company started that, and they wanted to then do a radio division, a radio media tour division. So when like a celebrity was, or a spokesperson was traveling to the studio to do the satellite tour, they could maybe be on the phone doing radio interviews
okay.
at the same time. Or the company could sell that you do a satellite tour and a radio tour just to really, market it the best you can. And they did video news releases and things like that. Those things still exist, but they're a lot different. And so I was just blessed. I got hired to start that radio media
okay.
division. And so I was just embroiled in that for a couple
so
of years. And we were in New York.
Okay, you're in New York.
But I have the indie clients too, so I'd go back.
And you have the two kids.
No, I had no kid.
This was
pre-Grace.
Gotcha.
So when she was born and we were living in Indy,
okay.
at that point the satellite division was, you know, up and running. I had started the radio division.
Okay.
And I would book satellite and radio tours from home.
Okay.
But it got crazy because once she started to, you know,
move around.
I don't know what I thought.
Oh, it's so hard.
You know, with the first kid, you think they're just going to sit there like
yeah.
this, I guess. But she was really active.
Everything's a death trap.
Oh, my gosh. And she started rolling over early, and then she started walking at 9 months.
Uh-huh.
And so...
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
so early.
It was crazy. So I eventually stopped doing that because I did a lot of celebrity stuff.
Okay.
And whenever you're booking a celebrity, you... I mean, it was weird because we didn't, you know, email
mm-hmm.
wasn't the thing. You'd have to fax the interview
oh
opportunity and call about it. And so my phone would start ringing like at 3, 4, 5 in the morning.
And you have to answer.
Because these people, radio producers, get there that early to prepare for their 5 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And it just got to be.
Oh, that's
crazy.
It
was too much.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing that and focused on the indie clients and did that forever. And then in 2008, when the crash hit,
okay.
at that point, my husband had kind of left the corporate world and had started. He had really, really good paternity leave.
Okay. Now, where did he work?
He worked for kind of like a legal aid in Indiana.
Okay.
It's called Legal Services Organization
okay.
of Indiana. And he stayed there because he got this paternity leave. And by the time Rose, so there was Grace, Abe, and Rose. By the time Rose was born, he had so much time. But he didn't want to not just totally not work.
Yeah.
He put an office in the, like a small office that he sublet in the building where he worked.
Mm.
So he could go back and forth between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And he was starting like an investment company.
Okay.
Buying and selling real estate and investing in different companies and stuff. So for a year, he had a year, like almost a year paternity.
How is that even a thing?
It's just this...
That's
you
crazy.
Know, it was, but he did his responsibilities there.
People, everyone listening is going to be really jealous of that.
we've been pretty lucky with figuring
uh-huh.
out how to parent and work and all that. And so he then gave that up. So by this time, he was full-time into the investing. Most of our assets were real estate. Well, it was bad in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just a disaster. And I realized I could work more and contribute to the family financially because I was constantly turning things down because I was independent and I wasn't working full time. And there was a guy who was on the board of one of my clients, and he had been asking me forever, why don't you come join my firm? Let's become a partner and we'll start a PR division, because his company didn't have PR. It had marketing and design and other communication, you know, tactics, but not PR. And so I said, fine, but I do not want to come down there every day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with all this payroll and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he handled all that, and it was great for a couple of years. And then one day he wanted to buy me out. And I was sad and scared and confused, but I ultimately thought, no, I can do this on my own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how the company
started. That's when you started in 2010.
It was 2010.
Okay.
And I had joined him in like 2008.
Okay.
And so I had kind of like the training wheels before I started the company. And now I'm just so glad it happened, because I don't know if I ever would have made the jump to starting a firm on my own without that. And so it was just it was a really good thing.
Yeah, that's what one of my questions I had was for you. It's like, how are you like to the point where you think I'm ready to do this, you know? But it sounds like his mentorship and working with him was kind of the shove that you needed to.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we had so many PR clients.
Yeah, that you already had before you started the firm.
Before, and then that I built as part of that company, and he was a part of. But I mean, mostly I was growing that part of.
So you brought your clients with you when you started the company.
Yes.
So you started with only three employees?
At the time that I joined him, we hired our first employee the day we announced.
Okay.
And then I don't even remember how many we had grown to, maybe five or six PR employees during that time. And I didn't take any of them with me. And so I hired two people.
Okay.
And so three of us walked into that space.
Okay.
And by the time a year had passed, we had, I don't know, 8 to 12 or something like that. And then we moved because, you know, what I shared before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we're in the 30s or something like that.
Well, I read on your bio that it was 35.
It kind of...
Or somewhere on the website.
It flows because we're trying to hire two people now. And so, you know, it's ever changing.
Yeah.
Because when you're growing and you're going quickly, I'm not trying to grow. I don't think bigger is better, but the opportunities that have been presented,
and
you kind of go through them and think, I want to do this, and if you do this, what does that mean? And if that happens, then what else changes?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been wild.
Yeah, that's so amazing, though. Based on what Trina tells me, I think I'm going to have to apply. I don't know what your job openings are. So you guys do events and entertainment, nonprofit, corporate, author publicity. When I was browsing around the website, it looked like kind of like four different kind of categories.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
These are the four. Before, when I was independent, I did author work, nonprofit.
Like publicity for people writing books?
There was a company that was really getting started, and they're a publishing company.
Okay.
And they're a self-publishing company, and they have grown tremendously over the last 15 years as well. And my first work with them was to help them really kind of market that they were going into the publicity services.
Okay.
And then it morphed into them selling services, and then I would do publicity for some of those authors. And at the time, you know, I personally would do two or three authors at a time, and now our company does hundreds of authors.
Oh, wow.
So it just, that relationship grew and grew and grew and grew. And I've been working with them for you know, 10, 15 years. And I did nonprofit work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always nonprofits that were kind of in the event space.
Okay.
Festivals.
Uh-huh.
And then I was doing a lot of events and entertainment work too. But all of them were similar in the sense that they all were trying to move people to action.
Okay.
To either buy a ticket,
mm-hmm.
to attend an event, buy the book to read it, you know, be... vested in the nonprofit for the cause, or to become a donor or a volunteer, or, you know, to just to perpetuate the mission. And so those were the three things when I started the company. Those were the types of clients
okay.
we had. And it's just grown from there.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, as a company, you know, the executive management team and I are looking at all that and just trying to figure out, how do you communicate that with one mission? Because mm-hmm. it does seem, and just like even listening to you say, uh-huh. so you do this, like, how does that work? Sometimes we wonder, how
yeah.
does that work,
yeah.
you know? But what happened that really kind of tied it all together was last year when we became B Corp certified.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the turning point for, like, the real positioning of the company,
mm-hmm.
because we, what happened was, we hadn't really worked on ourselves, like a marketing strategic communications mm-hmm. plan for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Everything was just always reactive, you know, like getting through the day. And I think we still did a good job of marketing ourselves. You know, we, you know, all the tools you can use, social media and mm-hmm. all that, but we hadn't really had a plan. And so this colleague of mine said, I'll come in and I'll mediate and, like, moderate and help you, and we'll have a plan at the end. And I thought, that's what I need, because if somebody tells me, here's your deadline,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to be the end result, I can stay on task, but I have a hard time. If I were going to be in charge of the StratCom plan, I could get it done, but it wouldn't be an expert doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine hiring people who are good at what they do to help me do it.
Right.
I can't do it all.
Yeah.
Know? So she came in, and one of the things she said when she was really uncovering the company and the things we do to create a good workplace and a good culture, but also what we're trying to do and what kind of clients we're trying to work with. She said, you are doing so much stuff that's in the corporate social responsibility like area.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever thought of being B Corp certified? I didn't even know what it was.
So what, can you explain to everybody what it is?
Yeah, it is. It's a third party endorsement, a company called B Lab, out of the East Coast, that they come in and there's an assessment, and it's involved with governance, your community engagement, your workplace culture, issues related to the environment, and there's 200 total points, but you only have to get 80 to be certified. So you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to get 80. I mean, you fail and you still get certified.
Uh-huh.
But it's kind of kooky.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder than you think, because some of them are in your control and some of them are not. So, for instance, we lease the building. So we can't, there's not a lot we can do as
And there's points for that?
Yes.
If you own the building or lease it?
Well, if you are, you know, using, if you're recycling.
Oh, gotcha.
Or you're doing certain environmentally conscious things within your space that sometimes you don't have control over.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why don't we do this? Let's get the assessment. Because there are all these wonderful companies that are, and I mean, you can be like an independent contractor who's certified, or you can be a huge company like an Etsy or Patagonia.
Okay.
There's no requirement for your size or type of company.
Anybody can apply.
Anybody. And so we took the assessment, and I wanted to do it as a framework to make decisions on how to improve the workplace, how to improve our communication with clients, just to look at various things we could do to be just a better company, like some of these other companies who have taken the time to be certified. And at the end of it, well, throughout it, we would say, well, we're doing that, but we don't have a policy, so we institutionalize something.
Yeah.
Like, one of the questions is, do you use local vendors?
Mm.
And we'd pulled all the data, you know, and we'd see, oh my gosh, 87% of the time we use local vendors.
Yeah.
Well, let's make that a policy.
Okay.
That we use local vendors unless the service isn't available.
You can't,
And so we went, it took us months of her, and she would tell me every week, let's get through this section, here's your homework, and then we, you know. And so about 8 weeks later, then this B Lab company, they come in and they look at your assessment and they interview you and they ask you questions. And then if you make the cut that it looks like you're going to be certified, the next step is that they ask you to provide some proof, but it's randomly chosen what they want you to provide the proof for, the backup documentation for. So they had three or four things. So we had to go back and provide the proof. And then they get you back on the phone and they see if you lose or gain points based on those few that they pull out from the whole assessment. And at the end of it, we had 100 out of 200.
Oh my gosh.
And we got certified. And what was, and I said, fine, you know, I'm a woman-owned business, but I'm not WBE certified.
Does that give you points if you're woman-owned?
I think it did.
Okay.
Yes, it did. And it might have given us more if I had gone to the trouble of being certified. But I always felt like I don't really, who cares if I'm a woman? I don't want somebody to hire me
because
I'm
that.
A woman,
yeah.
You know? But this, I felt like I'm going to take the certification because this is like putting a stamp on the kind of company you are and that you aspire to be and the way you are going to treat people who work here, clients that you have the joy to work with. And so we became Beaker certified. We were the first, but we were really the only in Indiana because there was a company that was certified in Indiana years before,
okay.
But they moved out.
Okay.
But I didn't feel right saying we were the first
because
they
weren't. Yeah.
But we were the only.
Yeah.
So we said we were the only. And simultaneous to that, the governor was putting benefit corporation into effect. And benefit corporation is a legal entity that companies in Indiana now, but Indiana wasn't, it wasn't legal here. It was legal in mostly East and West Coast states. He was bringing that into effect. And so it was really getting a lot of attention. Like, what is this? What is a benefit corporation? What is this B Corp certification thing? And I think the CSR, corporate social responsibility, has always been something that is taking place, but it had really started to become kind of a buzzword and a trend, I think because of the millennials and lots of other reasons. And so it just got a lot of attention because people are trying to make sense of it. And so for us as a company, what it's done is it's just been the best thing we've done. It helps define every decision we make, you know, whether it's hiring a person, attracting people to work here, the retention of them, whether or not somebody's a good fit client, just every decision, how are we going to market ourselves? Just it's been the turning point, really.
Now, do you know, have you seen other companies in Indianapolis that are doing it now? Or is it more popular, are you seeing?
There's a second company that got B Corp certified. They were a client.
Just
of ours.
A second?
Just
in all of an entire city?
I think there are others who are definitely looking into it. I think people are still trying to make sense of it. Like, really, in Indiana, we're kind of, I just think it takes a little while for people to just understand, see the benefits. And we did a Power Play series last year where we, as a company, did a four-part series. This is kind of something we do to give back to the community. And we did it for nonprofits. And we focused on four different, like we did a media relations seminar for nonprofits and the social media.
Oh, that's awesome.
Different things. And so this year, for our Power Play series topic, because we're committed to doing this every year, we decided we'd do it on CSR.
Okay.
And it was perfect because it was a great topic, timely topic. But also for me personally, it was good because so many people were like, can you have coffee with me? Can you have lunch? Can you come talk to our company? We want to understand this. And it was overwhelming because if I were to just do all that, I would be able to still find the time to run the company. So when we started the series, it gave me something. If somebody called, I could say, why don't you come to this seminar?
Yeah.
And they're great. We have panelists. And so other companies that are really in the space, like Sun King Brewery and Elanco and Just Pop In. I'm trying to think who else we've had on panels and who we're going to have. Endangered Species Chocolate.
So are those people all working to get B Corp certified?
They are. And you know, here's the thing. You don't have to be B Corp certified to have corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's really the point that I would like to make with people.
Yeah.
Because everybody is doing something and they just don't know it. It's it's interesting because you'll be with a group of people and they'll say, I don't know. I don't know if we can do, it seems so overwhelming. And then when you start digging in and asking, well, are you doing this? Or are you doing that? And then they have their own unique things that they do, their own program that they do that's particular to their brand or their market or industry or whatever. If they just formalize it or institutionalize it and then build from there, then I think that's how we can be helpful. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be all formal about yeah. it, in my opinion.
Yeah. So the B, is it B Corp or B Corp? How do you say it?
The B Corp certification.
Corp, okay.
Yeah, Corp.
I knew I was going to say it wrong, so I thought I'd clarify.
Yeah.
But part of getting that certification, it was kind of like the environment you had in place for your employees anyway. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, like Trina had mentioned to me, just the work-life balance and, you know, you encourage employees to, you know, go on a walk and do their meetings and things like that. Can you talk about what that looks like a little bit?
Sure. So part of it is, you know, your workplace culture. And so there were all kinds of ideas in the assessment as we were going through it where they would say, do you this? And like, we don't, but boy, we could, mm-hmm. you know. And so some of those we were already doing, but some of them we started doing. So in our workplace, I think some of the unique things we do, we have a health and wellness program. Mm-hmm. And certainly it isn't, you know, we're 30-some people, so it's a kind of created for that size of the mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. But we encourage, you know, people to bike to work. Mm. We have a Pacers bike share, 2 memberships.
Oh, that's
people
nice.
Go grab a bike to take it to lunch or mm-hmm. go to a meeting.
Oh, that's really nice.
We encourage walking meetings, and we have exercise classes that somebody here teaches, and we have a treadmill desk.
Is it an employee that works here that teaches them?
Yes.
Okay.
And then if you participate in one of those things, you get your name in a drawing, and then once a month we draw for gift certificates and things like that. And so it's our way of reminding people that your health and wellness are important. So there's that program. And then we also encourage people to volunteer. So we give them 4 hours a month paid volunteer
okay.
time. So they can just, you know, if there's some opportunity in the middle of the day, then they're able to just go do it.
So if they had like a full day of service, could they do like 2 months in one, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, oh, this
yep.
is a full day, so I'm going to do September and October together, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so nice.
And sometimes we do those things as a company.
Yeah.
And so that's just a kind of a separate opportunity to give. And we match board donations. So if like if somebody's on a board mm-hmm. and their commitment to the board is blank amount of
their personal commitment.
Yeah. Then we'll match it. What else do we do? We do work from home Mondays.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
Yeah. And so
that's
today
so nice.
Is a work from home Monday, so it's pretty quiet.
Oh yeah, Trina came in on a Monday.
Yeah. There's some of us who come in on Mondays. So
yeah.
It's a good day to get things done.
Well, that's true because there's sometimes many people in and out.
Yeah.
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 Monday's a great day to do work from home because a lot of people do Fridays, I feel like.
Yes.
But Mondays it's hard to get started after the weekend, so it's kind of a great day to just get started at home.
Yeah, it works out really well, and it also reduces the carbon footprint as we drive.
That's
So we do that. Trying to think what else. Let me just do things like we have monthly. I mean, I don't know. I think some of these things are pretty typical.
Yeah.
Monthly parties.
Yeah.
And, we really hope people will continue their education by participating in webinars that we stream from
mm-hmm.
the office.
Mm-hmm.
And we stream TEDx talks, and there's an allowance for continuing ed. So you can pick what you want to do with your money. So, you know, and those things are just, you know, some we were already doing and then some we had ideas from that assessment.
I feel like a lot of companies are kind of moving toward the letting employees work from home a little bit. I mean, my husband works from home when he wants, like not even once a week, but sometimes twice a week, you know. And I think there's just something to be said for working for someone who trusts you. And also, I mean, the amount of work that he can get done when he's at home, get up at 5, do a little bit here, go for a run, do a little bit there. Can't always be gone because you need that physical presence, but
right. There's
a certain amount of efficiency you can have when you don't have people coming in and talking to you throughout the day, you know? So that's really cool. And I feel like that's a millennial thing too. More and more people are going to be expecting that.
I think it is a good recruitment and retention And it's just, it's a good day of the week for us to do it because we do a lot of reports to our clients on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know people, I mean, it sounds like we knew it was a day that we knew they'd be working, but it did right. go into play.
Yeah,
because
totally.
They definitely have things to do.
To get done.
And
yeah.
what we do, we can do from anywhere.
Right.
I mean, really, unless we have to be together to meet or to go to a meeting or something. So just one little thing we can do.
Yeah.
I guess I've always felt like just treat people like they're adults.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
If they can't, I think that they'll be more loyal just because they, like you said, your husband can meet the cable guy, go on a
run,
be on a conference call folding laundry, or you know, stirring, making food for the week,
totally
working in the kitchen or whatever.
Yeah.
And for me, that was how I used to work.
So you knew you could get a lot done doing that.
I could.
Yeah.
Now, and not everybody has that personality.
Totally.
Those are the people who I think they just, they come in.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to slack. You
yeah.
know?
Be distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have full-time childcare on Tuesdays for the summer. I'm sad because I'm already on week three this week. I'm like, it's going to be gone before I know it. But my husband has decided to work from home on Tuesdays when I have Tuesdays off. And then he can, like, take the boys to childcare or be the one that picks them up. And, like, if I take them, we'll come home and we'll go on a run together. And it's just, like, it's nice to have that freedom and to also have a quiet house, you know. And that's when you're going to get work done, obviously, when your kids aren't running around.
A quiet house.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Every Tuesday. Every Tuesday from 8 to 5.
You planned when you're going to have your quiet house.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I had thought about it a lot leading up to the summer and when the Parents Day Out program that I was going to put them in 2 days a week for 5 hours was canceled. I was like, all right, I got to have one day so I can do interviews like this and, you know, just like have some sanity, right? When your kids are so little.
Yes.
So that's one thing I want to ask you about because, well, I'm pregnant with my third and you have three kids. And I love that you, how old was your oldest and how old was your youngest when you started your business?
It was perfect because Rose, the youngest, was just going into pre-K.
Okay.
This was the first time she was going to be out of the house.
Okay.
And I really didn't want her to have a different life than the other two had.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't feel the guilt, you know, that guilt that moms feel, because she was at least going to be out of the house for 4 hours or whatever.
Right.
So she was five, I guess. And then so that would have made my oldest. She was going into, she's in sixth grade. So
okay.
that was like 12.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because to me, it just gives me like this like, this like light at the end of the tunnel. Like I'm loving every minute of being this a young parent. I'm a parent to young children, and I'm kind of in a similar situation that you were in, not doing the same things as you were, but I'm home with my kids, but I've got my hands in a few things, and I'm working, but I'm not in the corporate world or anything like that. And it's inspiring to me to see that you started this company right at that time when your last child was, you know.
Yeah.
Starting to start school full time.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if I would have done it if she wouldn't have.
Was still.
I really don't.
So the timing was just perfect.
It was. And, you know, I was just so lucky to be able, like you, to be with them, but still do the things I love.
Yes.
You know,
to feed your,
you're making
feed
a
your soul
around what you love.
Yeah.
Taking it and spinning it into all these wonderful things. And so, you know, but I think that you have to sort of be able to go with the flow, but also kind of have a little bit of a vision.
Yeah.
And that's a hard balance.
It is hard.
You know, and so when I say things like, I just was blessed, or I mean, I really felt like every step of the way, what was needed was there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, others have said, well, you just knew how to make it happen. Or you had the vision that I just mentioned, I really don't know. I mean, part of me feels like I've just been lucky.
Yeah.
But I really know it's not only luck.
Yeah, you work hard.
You know? And so, yeah, but it does get, it gets, I loved being the mom to the young kids too.
Yeah.
But it is so interesting how it really changes. So now my oldest is leaving for college.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
exciting.
So excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss her, but I'm more just excited for her.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, okay, I've done my job And now she feels comfortable doing this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll miss her, but I'm more excited.
Is she leaving in August then?
She leaves end of August, yeah.
Okay. And where's she going?
She's going to NYU.
Okay.
So Ooh. She's going back to
Manhattan. Oh, yeah. So you have a reason to visit.
Yes, yeah. And then my middle one, he is, going to get his license and all that soon. And so then there's that, independence mm-hmm. that he has. And then the young one, she's like a 20, 30-year-old and then 11. I think that uh-huh. youngest child, uh-huh. I don't know. So anyway, it just is so different. Like,
yeah.
I leave them home. Like,
yeah.
I could, starting like a year or so ago, I could uh-huh. run to the grocery store and uh-huh. leave them. This is the first year we don't have somebody at the house this summer helping just to drive in place. It just changes so much, but it's still just as busy.
Yeah.
Just busy in a different
way.
You know,
as a young parent, I keep saying young parent. I'm not that young. I mean, I parent two young kids. People always say, like, don't wish it away and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm not wishing it away. I'm embracing it. But, like, I know that each stage is hard for different reasons. And the toddler, it's just an exhausting stage.
Yeah. Especially when they're all three just, I mean, I remember times, so it was never so 7. And I think at one point the youngest they were was 6. 4 and a baby, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so 6 is not too awfully bad.
Yeah.
Before,
more independent.
Still a little, That was a really crazy time.
Yeah.
When I see people, and then I was an older mom. I had my youngest one was 40.
Okay.
Yeah. So, go to her school.
Yeah.
And I'm always the oldest mom. I feel.
But they always tell you to be buddies with the oldest mom because the oldest mom has the wisdom.
She has the wisdom, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not the best clothes or whatever anymore. But, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
It hacks me up. But, I'll go and I just think about where they are. And uh-huh. it's also interesting because Rose, the 11-year-old, almost all of her friends have younger siblings, mm-hmm. whereas she is, from a family where she's the youngest, and it's just totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Some things start going out the window, especially because of Rose's maturity. We aren't as strict about what movies they're mm-hmm. watching. Plus, third kid, and so she'll have friends come over, uh-huh. and they just seem so less mature.
Oh yeah,
you know, but they have like a 1-year-old in
right.
the house, and so
yeah.
it's just different. Their life, So that's interesting. That kind of keeps me hopping too.
Did you ever feel like when you were in the stage that I'm in now, like sometimes I feel like, man, if I really not to say just stayed home, but if my full time job was staying home with my kids and putting everything into that and not multitasking and doing all these other things, I could do a much better job with that. On days that I say I'm not working, I'm not doing anything mm-hmm. podcast related or whatever, I'm going to make dinner, which probably hasn't happened in 6 months. My husband is the one that cooks. I'm like, man, I could do a lot better at this because I would just be focusing on this. Did you ever feel like that?
I definitely had those exact same feelings. But at the end of the day, I realized that I wouldn't be as happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't going to really have my heart in it as much. And one way I get so much done is I just really am organized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if I'm with my kids or, we're going to go do an activity or whatever, I try to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to answer the phone,
mm-hmm.
Check my email. And so, but that's kind of my, that's just how I am. I give everything my all at the time. I can multitask. But I want people, when I'm engaged with them, to feel like this is about me and you,
mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I've been able to do that with my kids, not nearly as well as I wish I had. Over the last few years have been insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a conscious effort not to have it be different for, each kid. I wanted them to each have the same life where I got on the floor and played with them
mm-hmm.
I definitely have thought about that. But don't you feel like you wouldn't be as effective?
Yeah, no, I think I need the outlet because I am the kind of person that, not that I wouldn't get joy out of being the full-time mom and not doing anything else, but I think I need to spend my energy elsewhere because I think I would be depressed.
Yeah.
And not everybody's like that. Like my sister-in-law, she had a very successful career, didn't have kids till she was, I think, 33 might have been her first, and now she has three, and she's 37. But the second she had her baby, I mean, she was full-time stay-at-home mom, puts everything into it. And, you know, things that she talks to me about sometimes, I'm like, oh, I don't even know. Like, I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. But she's, you know, like, on top of exactly when they get their shots and, you know, everything. And I'm, like, missing doctor's appointments and, you know, not doing everything on time. But it's just, it's not my personality. And I think I would get boggled down and I wouldn't be as happy doing that. I can't stand saying the word just doing that because that diminishes right. what people yeah. that do that are doing. But
yes, I agree. And I think women are harsh on each other, you know. Do you nurse? Do you, I mean, just all of it. It's like, gosh, can't we just accept
yeah.
for whatever? I
yeah.
mean, we are independent human beings.
Uh-huh. And everybody feeds off of different things.
Yes.
And yeah. And, you know, with my sister-in-law, I don't know when her youngest gets to kindergarten, if she'll go back to work, you know. But once your kids get in school, I think, okay, you have all this free time because they're in school, but, like, you could really still make it a full-time job being home, you know.
Oh, yeah. you definitely. I mean, gosh, my house suffered the way it looked, you know. You know what I mean? All those things.
So how do you balance that, though? Do you have a house cleaner, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yes.
You have to decide.
Yes. Like, and when you think about, okay, if I'm going to pay that who's there today,
uh-huh.
which, you know, then you're like, have to get it organized and everything.
Clean, yeah.
Yes. You reach a certain point when you realize this is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not afraid to, at work or at home, to hire what
mm-hmm.
I need done and use all kinds of apps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have my groceries delivered a lot of times.
Okay. What do you use for that?
I use Instacart. There's a new one in Indy called Instacart.
Now, how does that work?
It's awesome. It's $99 for the year.
Okay.
And I think it's free for the first month, so you can see if you like it. And where we live, I can get Marsh, Whole Foods, or Costco.
Wow.
And I'm not even a Costco member, but I can still get Costco.
You can still get it?
Yeah.
Now, what side of town do you live on?
I'm in Geist.
Geist, okay.
And so then you order up, and as long
That's
as
amazing.
It's $30, they'll deliver. So I could be, and this happened to me this weekend, I had to make brownies for one gathering and strawberry shortcakes for another, and I had about 2 hours to do it.
For your kids.
For a different thing.
Yeah.
Family gathering and then a kid function. And there was a soccer tournament going on. And so from the soccer tournament, I was thinking, oh, you got to go home. You got to do that. And then do it then. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, do I have everything? Well, I wasn't positive I had all the items. So I went on from the soccer game, ordered it, gave them the window that I knew I'd be there, the beginning of the 2 hours I had.
And is it day of?
Oh, yeah. It used to be you could have it delivered in an hour.
That's amazing.
But it got a little busier as it got known to people.
Yeah.
And so I got home. About 5 minutes later, they delivered my items. All good.
This is going to change lives.
It is. And I'm in this wonderful group called Women Presidents Organization.
Okay.
And so it's all women who either run or
okay.
own a company.
Uh-huh.
Then you have to be a certain size of
uh-huh.
revenue so that you have kind of similar threats, opportunities,
uh-huh.
whatever. And
yeah.
so it's kind of like a little board of directors
uh-huh.
or something. And every meeting, every month when we meet, at the end of the meeting, one of the things we do is we give each other a tip.
Oh, that's awesome.
For how to, you know, make your life run smoother.
Yes.
Or have more work-life balance or whatever. And so almost everything they've ever said is...
What are some of your favorite tips that you've received?
Oh, gosh. Like somebody told me about Evernote.
Now, what's
that?
I'm
not very techie, so... You know, I'm like, oh. It's just an app where it's like you can write notes in it.
Mm.
You can talk and it translates. It
mm-hmm.
goes into notes. So that then, if you're really fancy, I suppose, you can then have it connected and translated into emails and things.
Oh, okay.
But it's just I'm a list maker.
Uh-huh.
If I don't write it down, then it doesn't get onto the list of things I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm telling you, it is the truth. Because if I'm somebody and I'm like, I got to do that, I will. Not remember.
Yes.
Unless it's...
I'm the same way.
And I have the family list and the work list. And then you cross it off. And then on the morning drive-in, I usually am scribbling on a notepad. to do, like if I know I have 30 minutes before a meeting, what can you get done in 30 minutes?
Yes.
So it's tips like that that mm-hmm. we share with each other. And sometimes it's just, it's a new workout to try
mm-hmm.
or a lot of apps, time-saving things. We'll give the names of window cleaners or just whatever we need, you know?
What's your favorite app other than Instacart?
Oh, my favorite, probably Instagram.
Instagram. Yeah. Do you use Instagram?
I love Instagram.
Now do you have someone at your firm that is just in charge of all the social media type stuff?
For Bolson Group, yeah.
Okay.
We do, yeah. We have a marketing task force.
Okay.
And so that there's 7 of us on it, I think. And we all have different responsibilities, but
okay.
we meet biweekly and kind of talk strategy.
Okay.
And then talk about the content that we have to put out.
Okay.
And things going on and yeah.
But you do personally do Instagram, too.
I personally love Instagram. I do Facebook. I don't do Twitter, personally.
Yeah.
But I love Instagram for kind of being like a... I sometimes put work things.
Yeah.
But mostly it's just my life in general.
Yeah.
I like to look back, and I do this all the time.
Yes.
It's like a scrapbook.
It is.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, my kids, they'll have their friends over, and their friends are like... make fun of me because, you know, I'm dorky, but they love it because they'll say, I remember a month ago when you posted whatever, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the big dork that you're following, you know.
You're seeing what I'm up to.
Because they like to go see their friends
yeah.
on my feed. So I love Instagram.
Well, I started my Instagram account literally like the week my first son was born, and I'm so happy I did it because you post your favorite pictures on Instagram, right?
Yes.
So now I have all of my favorite pictures dating back to, so it's like 2012. And I remember I was at Broad Ripple Bagel Company and some guy was like, you're not on Instagram and you're about to have a baby? You need to get on Instagram. So I was like, okay. The only thing I have though is it's hard to get back. Like you have to scroll all the way down to get back. There should be a year, a way to look back. Cause I'm like, if I want to see pictures that I'd posted of Marshall when he was a baby, like I have to scroll for like an hour, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then my friend also got me a gift after I had my second baby of this little wood block. I think the company is called Artifact Uprising, and it has pictures that you sit in the wood block and there's like 12 and you can just select them from Instagram. And so she's like, I know those are your favorite pictures. So I just picked out 12 pictures straight from your Instagram account. And it was so great.
There's so much you can do. Like when I was getting ready for my daughter's open house.
Yeah.
I'm not the best. I mean, I saved in like boxes all their awards
uh-huh.
and stuff. But I was overwhelmed thinking about how to put it into, you know, these open houses are crazy these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the scrapbook with
oh, gosh.
The photos.
I'm
going to
be the worst at all that, I'm sure.
I thought, okay. Just do a couple things well.
Uh-huh.
So I did that quilt thing. You
yeah.
know, you take t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Do totally.
Yep.
Save their t-shirts.
Yep.
And
okay.
like your favorite onesie or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so I had this big quilt made. And then I did do one quick scrapbook. But when I was trying to get photos to go in like a compilation of through the years, I almost every photo came from either Facebook or Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can go on there and you can send them straight from Facebook
uh-huh.
to Instagram to the printer.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the only thing is the Instagram ones sometimes end up being a little bit grainy or something. And I don't know how to fix that because then sometimes I don't save the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're in your photo scroll too,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't do a good job of getting
the
ones.
Every like 4 weeks, my storage is full on my phone. I just need to use this external hard drive and dump them
uh-huh.
all in there. You could give any piece of advice to someone juggling kids, work, everything, what do you think what would it be?
Oh gosh, I guess just don't beat yourself up. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And don't judge other women. Gosh,
yeah.
I can't stand that. Embrace what you've got to work with and
yeah.
make it work, you
yeah.
know? And find joy in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? To just be in the moment as
yeah.
best you can, you know? And it's hard, I mean, I say it, but it's not always easy to do.
It's not.
I love to get advice from other people, but I can't dole it out.
What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
Oh, gosh, I get so much good advice from people. Like that, like I said, the Women Presidents
uh-huh.
Group. And oh, my gosh. I'm one of those people that I like to surround myself with people who I really respect and trust, and I will listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
I will try my best. probably don't listen to my husband enough to say that. But I mean, I just, you know, there is nothing off limits that I wouldn't like to learn from someone else.
Okay.
And I think it's why I really like biographies and memoirs so much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're writing a memoir, it's probably got some sad story to it.
Yeah.
You know? But you're writing a memoir, so you've, like, you got something to say.
Yeah.
And so you hear about this person's dysfunctional life, whether it was poverty or drug abuse or what physical abuse from your parents or being abandoned or whatever. And here they are now. Here's what I did. And so I just find that so fascinating because everybody has something that isn't going like they wanted in their life or that everything bad or good makes you the person that you are.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one reason why I really like relationships with people because I really like to know what they're about. And if I know them well, then you know why they act like they act.
Yeah.
And then you can better relate with them.
Yeah.
And have a good relationship.
Understand why they're behaving or acting or why they do things
in a good way or
a
bad way or whatever, you know. And also, I think this is kind of going off topic, but you know, I mentioned earlier that my mom died when I was 16, and you know, I would talk to like groups of girls or whomever about it and say they're like, oh, you know, and it's like, I really wouldn't. I know this sounds really bad, but I wouldn't change that, and it's because of what was going on in my life, and then if this wouldn't have happened, then this might not have happened. And I just feel like it's, I don't know, like you can't look back and be regretful. You can only look forward. So,
well, those experiences shaped you into the person that you are.
And I've told people, like, they're like, oh, wouldn't you? I'm like, I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. You know, no matter how dysfunctional or hard it was at the time, because they all, you know, made me who I am, and it's not all roses, but I just, you are who you are because of the things, you know, the environment you grew up in, and the people you met in grade school and high school and college, and everything that happened to you.
Yeah.
And so if you look back and you're like, I would have changed that one thing, then it'd just be a whole different life that you
And you can't live your life like that, or you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of living in the past a little bit.
Yeah. And I think you should be ambitious and mindful of things in the future, but I don't know. I'm getting kind of philosophical, but I just think that's probably, I'm not an advice giver, but I really find it interesting when other people, I like to listen to them.
But now that you're in this position where you're like the president of a company, people probably come to you all the time for advice and you don't even realize that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know. That's another whole thing. I don't feel like I'm anything special or anything like that. I'm just this person that, like I said, I'll hire people to help me with everything. I think if you surround yourself with people that are smarter than you, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And so I have a lot of that going on, I think.
So, okay, any recent books that you've read that you're loving?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could read more just because.
Well, you said you do the books on.
I do books on tape sometimes, driving, and I, like when we went on spring break, I think I read 3 or 4 books. I'm out of Kennedy books right now. I went through this phase where I was just crazy. I read, there was a book, do you remember, it was the one about John F. Kennedy, you know, he was married to Carolyn and they died in that plane crash. And his, like, assistant wrote this book about them as a couple.
Okay.
And it was such a great book. I can't remember what it was called, but you could go on Amazon and
Google it.
You could Google it and you'd find it. And I read it and I got so into the Kennedys because she would talk about, you know, his dad and then his mom. And so I went through this phase for a couple of years where I literally read every Kennedy.
How many books are there?
There's probably 30 or 40.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, written by you know, people who said that they used to date him. And then, like, you know, Jacqueline Kennedy's butler.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that existed, I read. And so I wish there were some more Kennedy books. But I'm reading a book called Just Mercy right now.
Okay.
And it's about a young lawyer who decided to serve the poverty-stricken people.
Okay.
And so he goes and practices in Alabama, where the death penalty is the highest percentage of any other state.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to right that wrong, you know, and, like, deal with that and start up a law firm that deals with that. And I was really into it a couple weeks ago. I had some free time, and I read about half of it, and now I haven't touched it for a couple weeks. So, but when I go on trips, I take a staff.
Yeah.
And they're usually biographies or memoirs. And I mean, I can read them about celebrities.
Yeah.
Or just a random, you know, a memoir about just whatever. Yeah.
So you said on your way home from work, you like to listen to music to pump you up. What kind of music?
Oh, gosh. Any and everything, really. But right now, Adele, her new album.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
The one new song. I don't remember which one it is, but it's a little bit faster.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, is I know every one of the songs on this album by heart.
Uh-huh.
I find her to be amazing because...
She's so amazing.
Her music... Like, I will listen to a song, and to me, it's about this.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, one of my kids will think, I think it's about this.
Oh, yeah.
And she's one of those people that can write a song, and everybody can find meaning in it.
Oh, totally.
And I just, wow, that's so beyond belief. So I'm listening to her. I also like, you know, older, like, you wouldn't know these people because I'm a lot older. But, like folk music, Sean Colvin.
Okay, yeah.
Tori Amos.
Oh, I know who those people are. Yeah.
Paula Cole.
92.3.
Yeah, 92.3. So I still listen to all that.
Yeah.
And then I love Broadway musicals.
Oh, okay.
I can listen to those. I find if I could do anything, like if somebody said, what would you do if you could do something to be known for?
Uh-huh.
It would be to write a Broadway musical that is as wonderful as like Shrek the Musical.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever listened to that thing, but
I actually haven't.
It's unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
It's just so witty.
Uh-huh.
Or like the Book of Mormon music, you know, or I could go on and on. I just find that to be such a skill, you know. So I listen to a lot of those too. That's what I listen to when I work out too.
Okay. Since we're in Indianapolis and we're sitting downtown in this awesome, beautiful office, What's your favorite restaurant in Indy downtown? Like,
I tend to just walk from here, but if I were going to go out, like, I want to go to what's the new? I've eaten Cerulean.
Oh, see, I've never been there.
And Yolk, that are restaurants that came from other cities. Oh gosh, I have to look around. Anything that I like, Mama's Korean Barbecue, which is this literally a Korean barbecue on Pendleton Pike.
Oh, okay.
And it's a dump, but it is authentic.
So good. Yeah.
And so I like to find like the really good Indian place, or the really good Korean or Thai or whatever.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you so much for coming on
welcome.
The show. This was so fun.
Thank you. So fun.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. That wraps up episode 17. Thank you, Vicki, for coming on. And stay tuned. Next week, a new episode will drop Friday like they always do.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.